Blog Talk Radio.
This is XXBN Raleigh Durham. Tonight closes in on East Texas with winds of 110 miles per hour. Hurricane Ike approaching Houston and Galveston. I'm Joe Brenneman. This is a special Friday night edition of Brenneman Airplane. Joining me once again tonight are our forecaster from Crown Weather Services in Presque Isle, Maine, Mr. Rob Lightbound, and where is Rob? There is Rob. Rob, welcome.
Thank you, Jill. I am here. Let me get started with the 8 p.m. Position of Ike. As of 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Central Time, the center of Hurricane Ike is positioned near 28.3 north latitude, 94.0 west longitude. That is 85 miles southeast of Galveston, Texas. Ike is expected to track to the west, northwest, and northwest for the next several hours, and this will bring Ike onshore sometime between 2 and 4 a.m. Eastern Time, or 1 and 3 a.m. Central Time, early Saturday morning, as a, I'm still thinking, a Category 3 hurricane with maximum winds of 115 to 125 miles an hour. Landfall area still looks like it'll be either right over or very near Galveston, and then Ike will likely track right up the west side of Galveston Bay, and then either right over or just east of Houston. For a storm surge forecast for Ike, water levels are forecast to continue rising very rapidly tonight into early Saturday morning as the storm surge spreads onto the coast and bayshore areas. So maximum storm surge forecast figures are as follows. For the Texas coast, for the shoreline of Galveston Bay, a maximum storm surge of 15 to 25 feet with some isolated surge totals of near 30 feet are possible at the head of Galveston Bay. For Bolivar Peninsula, a maximum storm surge of 17 to 20 feet is forecast. For Galveston Island, a maximum storm surge of 14 to 17 feet is forecast. For Gulf-facing coastline areas from Sargent to San Luis Pass, a maximum storm surge of 8 to 13 feet is forecast. For Gulf-facing coastline areas west of Sargent, a maximum storm surge forecast of 4 to 7 feet is forecast. For the shoreline of Matagorda Bay, a storm surge of 3 to 6 feet is forecast. For Louisiana, for coastal Cameron Parish, 15 to 18 feet of storm surge is forecast. For coastal Vermilion, Iberia, in St. Mary Parishes, 12 to 15 feet of storm surge is forecast. For coastal Terrebonne Parish, 9 to 12 feet of storm surge is forecast. For coastal southeast Louisiana, including New Orleans, a 4 to 9 foot storm surge is forecast, but that is expected to diminish later on tonight as Ike moves onshore in coastal Texas. Now for the wind forecast. Hurricane force winds in excess of 74 miles an hour will reach coastal areas of Texas late this evening. These winds will spread inland through the Houston metro area around midnight tonight. Hurricane force winds will then last for up to 12 hours straight. Peak wind gusts of 90 to 110 miles an hour will be possible across Harris, Liberty, Brazoria, Galveston, and Chambers counties. Wind gusts near or perhaps even over 115 miles an hour will be possible near where the center of Ike comes ashore. As for Houston metro area, winds from Ike will probably be sustained at 85 to 90 miles an hour on the south side of the city and 75 to 80 miles an hour on the north side of the city. Now for inland flooding, widespread rainfall amounts of 5 to 7 inches with isolated rainfall totals of 10 to 12 inches will be possible through Saturday along the path of Ike. Significant river and stream flooding is possible in areas of heaviest rainfall. To add to that, for the Ohio Valley on Sunday, heavy rainfall in excess of 4 to 8 inches is possible as the remnants of Ike combined with a frontal system that's pushing east. That rainfall will then push northeast into northern New England on Monday and Tuesday with rainfall amounts of 1 to 3 inches possible in northern and central New England. Now for the tornado threat. The threat for tornadoes will exist through late Saturday in association with Ike. If a tornado warning is issued for your area, you should plan to seek shelter in an interior room on the lowest floor away from windows. This is a very large hurricane in overall size. Tropical storm force winds extend outward up to 275 miles from the center of the storm, and hurricane force winds extend outward up to 120 miles from the center of the storm. Ike's very strong winds, heavy rainfall, and the threat for tornadoes will extend well inland due to the hurricane's accelerating forward speed at landfall. Damaging hurricane force winds are possible as far inland as 100 to 150 miles from the coast, roughly along and east of Interstate 45. Cities like Huntsville and Livingston to the north of Galveston will see hurricane force winds on Saturday. Tropical storm force winds will likely extend inland to Dallas, Tyler, Shreveport, and quite possibly into southeastern Oklahoma and western Arkansas. It's likely that Ike could cause widespread power outages over a 200-mile wide swath in eastern Texas and western Louisiana and extending 300 miles inland all the way to Interstate 20. As for the city of Dallas, they may end up at the fringe of the region of widespread power outages. However, isolated to scattered power outages are even possible for the city of Dallas and Fort Worth. In conclusion, this is a very dangerous hurricane. A Category 3 hurricane is forecast to make landfall near or over Galveston, Texas, tonight between 2 and 4 a.m. Eastern Time, 1 and 3 a.m. Central Time. A large and destructive storm surge of up to 25 feet will cross the middle and upper Texas coast, with the potential for up to 30 feet of storm surge at the head of Galveston Bay. And that is the latest from here at the Crown Weather Service's forecast desk as of the 8 o'clock hour.
This is coverage of Hurricane Ike on XXBN. I'm Jill Brenneman. With me is Crown Weather Service's forecaster, Rob Lightbound. If you would like to join in, the number is 646-200-3136. You can also go to xxbn.net, press quick to talk, and you can join us that way. You can also send email. You can do that at xxbnradio, one word, xxbnradio@gmail.com. Or you can go to the chat room, which is currently up and active for XXBN. Join in, ask questions. Rob, I've already got an email. It actually kind of surprised me. This is coming from Denny in Seaport, Texas. He's been listening to the show continuously, and he feels he may not have taken the warnings seriously enough, because he's been listening to our show and other programs and his local news. And to paraphrase this, water has now come into his home. He is on the second floor, and he's asking if you feel it's important for people in Seabrook to evacuate.
I really hate to say this, but I think the time of evacuation may have actually now passed. And unfortunately, I think at this point, staying in your home may be the best option than trying to get out onto the road and trying to evacuate. Just because of the surge that's coming in now, you may actually end up driving into surge and being swept away by the surge if you're in your vehicle trying to escape. If you're still listening, which I'm sure you are, and you're on the second floor, you might want to... I hate to use this wording. If you have an axe, get it. If you have a chainsaw, get it. Have it on hand in case you have to cut yourself through the ceiling into the and through the roof, so that you have to climb up onto the roof. If you have a way to get up on the roof without having to cut through the seal and through the roof, by all means, that may be an option. But at this point, the time for evacuation has passed, just because of the water rises. They're already... running 6 to 8 feet at most places along the Texas coast for surge rises. Low tide is right about now. So from here on out, for the next 6 to 7 hours, the tide will be coming in along with the surge. So, the water is actually probably going to be coming in more rapidly now over the next several hours. So, shelter in place. If you have an axe, get it. If you have a chainsaw, get it. And have it on hand. And that's the advice I can give for for the Seabrook area.
Rob, we have a caller. I'm going to bring
sure.
in caller Experto. Go ahead. You're on XXPN with forecaster Rob Lightbound. Caller Experto, go ahead. One last time. I can see you on the board. Experto, are you there? Try calling us back in. This is XXBN. With me is forecaster Rob Lightbound from Crown Weather Services in Presque Isle. This is coverage of Hurricane Ike as it makes its way towards the Texas coast. In the XXBN chat room, there are now links to important shelter information and also important contact information. If you're in the affected area and you would like to list yourself and let relatives know that you are okay, the Red Cross has set up a function for that, and you can do that through the XXBN chat room by clicking a link, or you could also just go to KHOU.com. That is a Houston television station. Once again, it's H as in hotel, O as in Oscar, U as in uniform.com. Rob, there are some astonishing pictures already. I've seen coverage from Houston, and people are essentially standing there in shock from the coverage that I've seen because it hasn't rained yet, and there's already extensive flooding.
Right. And at this point, it's only going to get worse over the next several hours. We're probably looking at another right through landfall. So I would say we haven't even seen the worst of the storm in terms of surge. And then widespread power outages as the winds come ashore. If anything, looking at the radar presentation and the satellite pictures of Ike, it almost looks like the strongest winds may actually come on the back side of the hurricane rather than the front side, because that's where all you're looking at satellite imagery, which actually now is looking like some sort of an eye is trying to clear out, and it's starting to tighten up as it's coming ashore, which unfortunately happens as hurricanes try to make landfall, especially on the northern and western Gulf Coast. All that energy has to go somewhere. So instead of being spread out, it tries to tighten up as it nears shore because all that energy is being more focused in a smaller area, and that the best analogy I can use is for the last couple of days, Ike has been kind of like the skater with its arms outstretched, spinning around. It's not spinning very fast. But now as it's nearing shore, it's pulling in its arms, so it's starting to spin faster and faster. And that's and we're starting to see increases in the wind speeds with reconnaissance flights. In fact, the last advisory, the winds are up to 110. And I, like I said in the forecast, I think it will come in as a Category 3 upon landfall. But I think the strongest winds appear to be on the northeast side of the storm, almost on the backside. So it's conceivable that after the center crosses the coast, the backside of the storm may actually contain the strongest winds. Already, looking at some of the weather observations out of southeast Texas, as of the 7 p.m. Central Time observations, read off some of these. Port Arthur, northeast winds sustained 33, gusting to 49 miles an hour. Angleton, north wind 37, gusting to 56 miles an hour. Bay City, north wind 28, gusting to 46 miles an hour. Let's see if we can go with some other ones. Houston Hobby Airport, north wind 38, gusting to 51 miles an hour already. Sugarland, north wind 28, gusting to 43 miles an hour. And Houston Bush International Airport, north wind 29, gusting to 35 miles an hour. So the winds are already near or above tropical storm force now along the coast, and they're only going to increase further overnight. With that surge continuing to increase over the next several hours, and I think as the center comes within an hour or so of landfall, so it would be after midnight, I think we'll see that final push of the surge, or that final big push of the surge come in. That's when I think you'll see your biggest water rises, is around or just after midnight, coinciding with right around high tide for Galveston and other areas in central and the upper Texas coast.
Rob, we have a question that's come in from the chat room. The question is, is there a possibility that there, at this time, are there two possible eyes to the storm?
Right now, the eye is actually almost it's contracting, it looks like, on satellite picture, on radar imagery. And what looks like is two eyes is almost the, like I used the analogy of the skater trying to pull in its arms, it's starting to spin faster and faster, so the eye is wrapping in on itself. So the almost distortion of what it looks like two eyes is actually one eye, and now it almost looks like it's contracted down some to instead of the 60 mile wide eye it was 2 or 3 hours ago, it looks like it's running right around 40 to 45 mile wide eye, so it's contracted by about 20 miles in about 3 or 4 hours. So to me, that almost looks like the image of a potentially intensifying hurricane. It's definitely not a weakening hurricane, looking at everything I'm looking at in terms of satellite imagery, recon aircraft reports, and satellite imagery. Velocity data off of Houston Doppler radar are indicating, granted this is off the surface some, but I'm seeing some winds of, 110 to 115 miles an hour just offshore, and hurricane force winds just offshore of High Island with this latest radar image of the velocity data, Doppler radar. Granted, that's higher up in the atmosphere, probably a couple thousand feet, but it's a good indication that there's some pretty strong winds out there, and they're only going to increase along the Texas coast tonight. And needless to say, and it's not without going, without saying that it's going to be a very long night for a lot of folks along the central and upper Texas coast, and even, and let's not forget the folks in southwestern Louisiana, because they're going to see a very high storm surge as well in southwestern Louisiana.
A listener in chat is reporting that the Weather Service has issued a new report of houses collapsing on the Gulf, two houses. Certainly, that is not a surprise.
Does the report say explicitly where?
To the listener who sent the information about the house collapsing, if you could send us the information, if you have it, of where the houses that have collapsed on the Texas coast. This is obviously, if you have not yet seen the pictures already from Galveston and from other coastal communities, a lot of communities, from what I've seen, and Rob, perhaps you could shine more light onto this, but a lot of houses, a lot of neighborhoods are already under significant amounts of water.
And I know the Coast Guard has had to do a lot of rescues this afternoon along the Texas coast. I believe Brazoria County had a lot of rescues of folks from houses, from house roofs. Boy, it slips my mind, but there was a report that I saw on the Weather Channel before coming on that there's a town on the Texas coast that's reporting that there's folks that are on a church roof, and the police chief of the town, if any of your listeners know exactly what town, because it slips my mind, police chief reports that they can't get to them because of the weather conditions are just too bad, and they can't. The police department there can't confirm the report, but the report is that there's multiple people on a church roof because of the floodwaters from the storm surge, and we're only 7:30 Central Time, and we're still 7 hours away from potential landfall.
Rob, I'm wondering if you've had the, just from my own perspective, I've kind of gotten a sense that some of the cities directly impacted really kind of dragged their feet on taking this seriously.
Yep, that's been kind of a, got me kind of a, how do I put it, hot under the collar the last day or so, seeing some of the reactions from city officials. And I'm sure I'm going to get into a little bit of trouble saying this, but I'm going to speak my mind concerning the Galveston City news conference from earlier this afternoon. Actually, it was late this afternoon. How they... There was a question from one of the reporters asking the mayor, why didn't they pass the word that of the National Weather Service warnings of loss of life was likely because of storm surge flooding. If you stayed and not getting evacuated, you would lose your life. Her answer was she thought it was too much. I can't paraphrase it, but it was to the effect of she didn't want to scare her community. She didn't want to scare her constituents, and that she thought it was hype. To add to that, to the same news conference, the city manager indicated they didn't evacuate because the storm track was shifting too much and they weren't getting accurate forecasts. How do I put this? That's a bunch of BS. Because back on Tuesday, most of the forecasts were calling for a landfall very close to Freeport, Texas. Even with that landfall near Freeport, that's still within striking range of driving one hell of a storm surge into Galveston and up Galveston Bay. That's 3 days' notice. Now, I don't know how they're coming to their conclusion that the track forecasts are shifting around. There were models that were shifting around, yes, but there were a couple of reliable models that pretty much stayed the course, and most of the forecasts, if not all the forecasts by the National Hurricane Center, myself, and pretty much all of the private meteorologists out there called for about the same thing for Texas Central or Upper Texas Coast landfall. And Galveston was always, and I repeat, always within the cone of risk from Ike. That cone of risk you see on the National Hurricane Center forecast tracks. The cone of error, that's what they call it. So Galveston was never out of the cone of error, and it was always thought that the Galveston area was at a significant risk from a very large hurricane in overall size, because all of the models were pointing at a storm that was going to grow very large as it came off Cuba. So I don't know if this statement was more of a CYA-type statement, but it eerily reminds me of the Katrina-type reaction in New Orleans, how their statements, they weren't warned in time. And I don't know, I felt like it was almost deja vu tonight. That I just went back 3 years to August 29th, 2005, actually August 28th, 2005, the night before Katrina came ashore. The computer almost got thrown across the room when I heard those statements. It kind of made me pretty mad to hear those statements and how they drug their feet and how they're almost still dragging their feet. They now have a shelter of last resort on the island because it's now too late to evacuate the island. And I don't know. Maybe I just got too touchy when it came to they were blaming the meteorologists for their decisions, and I call BS on that, to be frank.
Well, clearly it seems like an odd statement coming from them, unless it's anything other than to cover their back end. The forecast track has been remarkably consistent for a significant amount of time.
Right, it has been.
Yeah, I think we've been on the air. I forget how many days in a row with this. And you've been talking about this consistently. It isn't as if you know, yesterday you were talking about, you know, 600 miles away, and today.
It's not like yesterday we were calling for a Florida Panhandle hit, and then today we were calling for a Galveston hit. If it was that type of forecast, I would have fully admitted, hey, I screwed up. I admit it. I'm sorry. We screwed up, and this is what we were looking at the time. The storm didn't do it. We learned from our mistakes. We learned from bad forecasts. I mean, originally it was thought Ike was going to go into Florida based on the forecast tracks, climatology, all that, like I discussed this morning in the noontime show. But once it came off Cuba, all the guidance, all the upper air setup showed a western Gulf Coast hit centered right on Tuesday afternoon. It looked like Freeport. And I went back in my notes, because I write out notes for each show to pretty much stay on target and just points to talk about. And I went back in my notes, and sure enough, that's what I was looking at on Tuesday. So I don't know. It makes me mad, to be honest.
Rob, we have an additional question and some information. The houses collapsing are reported to be in Quintana, Texas. And then the question, a listener via XXBN chat has asked the question, it looks like two eyes and one bigger eye, maybe the outer and inner, or dry air wrapping. Do you see any dry air wrapping into the system?
At this point, I see it on satellite picture. I see what they're looking at. And with that deep convection still wrapping around, it almost looks like any dry air that might be able to get in there, maybe mixed out, especially where we're close enough to landfall, and it's trying to wrap up. So I think at this point, any dry air that does try to get in there may be mixed out or may not have enough of an effect to best case scenario weaken it much. But I think at this point, looking at more the radar data and seeing how the radar is showing a ever shrinking eye on radar imagery, it almost looks like it's trying to strengthen more, or at least try to spin up more. Whether that can translate to a wind increase, it may be able to just over the next 5 or 6 hours before landfall. And I do think it'll make it to Category 3. I put the 115 to 125 range in there in case it tries to wrap up really, really quick in the last couple of hours of landfall. It's conceivable that it could remain steady state at 110. So at this point, I think the dry air that does work in there will either get mixed out or won't have enough of an effect to weaken Ike, really any or significantly in the next few hours.
This is XXBN coverage of Hurricane Ike as it makes its way toward landfall in Texas. I'm Joe Brenneman. The show is Brenneman Airplanes, the Friday edition, on XXBN.net. We still have plenty of time if you'd like to join us at 646-200-3136. You can get questions for our forecaster, Rob Lightbound from Crown Weather Services in Presque Isle. You can also join us by XXBN chat and get your questions in there, or you can send your questions in by email at xxbnradio@gmail.com. A bit of news, very tragic news, being reported by KHOU in Houston. Ike has claimed its first life in the U.S. A 10-year-old boy, this is coming in from KHOU, a 10-year-old boy was killed this morning by a tree limb, which is being attributed to the storm. So I guess the inevitable has started to happen at this point. In somewhat of an odd situation, more locally to the XXBN studios in Raleigh-Durham, we are finding gas prices have gone up a dollar plus a gallon, and many stations are out of gas. Rob, I'm not sure if the outer bands of Ike have formed their own storm and shot 1,000 miles to the northeast to somehow cause gas prices to spike.
Yeah, that's probably likely because of all the refineries that have had to shut down and all of that. And unfortunately, if anything, those gas prices are going to keep rising over the next week or two, especially if some of those refineries up the ship channel there in Galveston Bay are damaged or have to be shut down for a long period of time, then that would just unfortunately cause further rises in oil prices and then trickle down to an increase in gas prices.
Rob, I'm going to ask you a question that kind of relates to the information I'm passing. Southwest Airlines has now sent notification that they are suspending their Dallas flight operations at Dallas Love Field.
Right.
That is effective tomorrow from 10:30 Central to 5 p.m. And those are tentative times. Once again, that's for Dallas Love Field. As Houston Hobby, Southwest has suspended service as of 9 a.m. this morning, and they have not given any time frame as of right now until the extent of damage is known. What is Dallas looking at in terms of impact?
Well, Dallas right now is under an inland tropical wind warning. Effective from 6 a.m. Saturday to 1 a.m. Sunday, Central Time. They're expecting 35 to 45 mile per hour winds with gusts to, it says here, 55 miles an hour on Saturday into Saturday night. So that's likely the reason why the airlines there in Dallas are canceling flights because of the wind potential and the idea of trying to let planes take off and land. In addition, going to be heavy rain there in North Texas. We're looking at rainfall of up to 4 to 5 inches in the Dallas area. Plus, there's even probably tornado risk too. So with all that combined, I think that's why you're seeing those airline cancellations in Dallas, because of the risk of trying to land planes, have planes take off in those type of conditions.
So definitely tomorrow is not a good day to take a trip via Southwest to Texas.
No, not at all.
No. We have more questions that are coming in from XXBN's chat room. First one is, do you feel that the I don't know how to describe the question. Is there an eyewall replacement cycle? Do you feel that that could be what's giving the visual appearance on the radar?
I wouldn't call it an eyewall replacement cycle just yet. I think there's actually an eyewall forming, especially on that northwest side, looking at satellite, radar imagery right now. Right now, radar is actually looking like the best tool to use, just looking at the structure of Ike as it nears shore. But looking at radar, looks like an eyewall trying to form on the northwest side. Hasn't quite tried to develop on the south and on the south side of the hurricane, but it's not an eyewall replacement cycle. It's just a eyewall that's trying to form over around a eye that's trying to contract from the 60 miles it was to, now it looks almost even smaller since I last described it. Now it's down to 40 miles wide for the eye across. Looking at radar and doing the distance measurements using the radar, the eye is now 40 miles wide instead of the 45 it was at the top of the hour.
Rob, this next question is coming from xxbnradio@gmail.com. Can you express why visible satellite imagery is much slower at night to be updated?
Well, basically there is no real visible satellite imagery at night, per se. Just because visible satellite imagery needs the sun to highlight the clouds for you to see it. Also, all satellite imagery goes through what's called a blackout period, roughly between 1 and 4 a.m. in the morning, or right around that time, because during those hours, the angle, basically the Earth, the satellite, and the sun are all in a position so that it almost blocks out the satellite signal, so that during that time, satellite signal is blacked out, and for a 2 or 3 hour period, like I said, roughly from 1 to 4 a.m. or something like that, there's no satellite imagery available.
The next question, once again, this comes from the XXBN chat room. That question is, I'm going to give you the acronym. I don't know what this acronym is. Are the cooling TSTMF a sign of Hurricane Ike getting stronger?
cooling what? Probably the cooling cloud tops, I would assume.
I'm assuming that this is an acronym, TSTMS.
I'm going to assume that's the cooling cloud tops. Yes, some of the cloud tops that you're seeing on satellite, you're seeing more red, deep red, around the center of Ike, and that is cooling. And look, pulling up the latest satellite picture, it's looking even more impressive in terms of cooling cloud tops or deeper convection around the center of Ike, and radar imagery is confirming that. Like I said, an eyeball is trying to form. Basically, it's just so far just really formed on the northwest and west side of the hurricane, and hasn't quite wrapped around to the rest of the storm. Although satellite imagery is showing pretty deep convection on the east side of the center of the Ike, and I think that'll keep wrapping around tonight before landfall. And like I said, I think we'll see a bump up in the winds over the next several hours to a Category 3 hurricane.
Rob, we have another question. It's being discussed, which I did not have the blog information, but Katrina survivor in Biloxi is stating that anyone from Biloxi on the coast to Galveston should leave. What are your thoughts on that?
I would say if you are in an evacuation area, check with your local officials to see if an evacuation is needed, is being ordered. I can't speak for what every county or parish from Biloxi to Texas, which ones are actually under evacuation orders for the Texas coast and probably for even Louisiana, southwest Louisiana coast. It's now really too late to evacuate because of the rising surge coming into the coast and washing over roads in many of the towns along the central and upper Texas coast, right into southwest Louisiana. So for the upper Texas coast, central Texas coast, southwest Louisiana, it's almost now too late, or too late now to really leave. But you might want to check with your local officials, local emergency management officials, to see if there is a shelter of last resort in your town. And if you think that your house is going to be flooded out and your life is in grave danger, basically if your house is already being flooded, see if there is a shelter of last resort. If it's being flooded too bad, there's nothing you can do except try to get as high as you can get from the water, including getting up onto your roof.
And, you know, definitely a statement of the power of this storm. Again, I'm seeing images, and These are areas where it hasn't even started raining yet, or probably at this time, perhaps the rain is just starting. And there are rescue workers walking waist deep in the water. And I think this speaks to what you've been talking about. You know, you've really spoken a lot about the effect of storm surge, and I really get the sense that this was not taken seriously.
I think that a lot of people, when they saw a Category 2 hurricane, they may have assumed that they were going to see a Category 2 storm surge, when in fact some areas may see storm surges equivalent to a Category 5 hurricane. Category 5 hurricane surges are usually 25 feet or more, and that will be potentially met in some areas on the central and upper Texas coast, especially up Galveston Bay. Galveston Bay, and potentially even in Bolivar Peninsula, Galveston Island. I mean, 20-foot storm surge is quite possible as Ike comes ashore later tonight. 20-foot storm surge is even possible in Cameron Parish in Louisiana. I know earlier there are towns completely flooded out in Cameron Parish, and that was earlier this afternoon. And the height of the storm surge hasn't even arrived yet. And I fear what we're going to wake up to with the light of day tomorrow morning along the Texas coast up into the southwest Louisiana coast.
Rob, we're getting listeners that are just joining us. I'm wondering if you could paraphrase
sure.
the most important information.
Sure. Right now, Ike is positioned 85 miles southeast of Galveston, Texas. It is forecast to track inland late tonight, coming ashore between 1 and 3 a.m. Central Time, either right over or very near Galveston, and then tracking up the west side of Galveston Bay, and then very near or right over Houston. Storm surge potential forecast is as follows. For the Texas coast, for Galveston Bay, 15 to 25 feet, with the potential for up to 30 feet of storm surge at the head of Galveston Bay. For Bolivar Peninsula, a 17 to 20-foot storm surge. For Galveston Island, 14 to 17 feet with the potential for 20 feet possible. From Sargent to San Luis Pass, 8 to 13 feet of storm surge. For the coastline west of Sargent, 4 to 7 feet of storm surge. For Matagorda Bay, a 3 to 6 foot storm surge. In Louisiana, Cameron Parish, 15 to 18 feet of storm surge with the potential for 20 feet of storm surge in some areas. For Coastal Vermilion, Iberia, and St. Mary Parishes, 12 to 15 feet of storm surge. For Terrebonne Parish, 9 to 12 feet of storm surge. And for southeast Louisiana, including New Orleans, 4 to 9 feet of storm surge, and that should be diminishing late tonight. For the wind forecast, hurricane force winds will reach the coast late this evening and spread inland, reaching Houston around midnight tonight. Hurricane force winds may last up to 12 hours straight. Peak wind gusts of 90 to 110 miles an hour are possible across Harris, Liberty, Brazoria, Galveston, and Chambers counties. Wind gusts near 115 miles an hour is possible near where the center of the hurricane comes ashore. For Houston Metro, 85 to 90 mile per hour winds are likely on the south side of the city, with 75 to 80 mile per hour winds expected on the north side of the city. For inland flooding, rainfall amounts of 5 to 7 inches with isolated rainfall totals of up to 12 inches possible through Saturday along the path of Ike. Significant river and stream flooding is possible in areas of heaviest rainfall. For tornado threats, the threat for tornadoes will exist through late Saturday in association with Ike across eastern Texas into western and southern Louisiana. If a tornado warning is issued for your location, you should plan to seek shelter in an interior room on the lowest floor away from windows. Hurricane force winds are possible as far inland as 100 to 150 miles from the coast, roughly along east of I-45. Tropical storm force winds will likely extend inland to Dallas, Tyler, Shreveport, and quite possibly to southeast Oklahoma and western Arkansas. Ike is expected to cause widespread power outages over a 200-mile-wide area in eastern Texas and western Louisiana and extending 300 miles inland to I-20. For the city of Dallas and Fort Worth, they may end up being on the fringe of the region of widespread power outages, but isolated to scattered power outages are possible in Dallas and Fort Worth. In conclusion, this is a very dangerous hurricane. A Category 3 hurricane is expected to make landfall near Galveston late tonight between 1 and 3 a.m. Central Time. A large destructive storm surge of up to 25 feet and quite possibly 30 feet will cross the middle and upper Texas coast. And that is the latest from here at Crown Weather Services.
I'm Joe Brenneman. This is XXBN, XXBN.net, Raleigh, Durham, XXBNradio.com, Fargo, North Dakota. With me is Crown Weather Services forecaster Rob Lightbaum. Rob, we've run somewhat over. There's still one question in the chat. Do you have time to take that question?
Sure.
And just before I send it back out to you, Rob, there is breaking news now from California. Rescue efforts are underway at the site of a California train crash. It's apparently freight and commuter lines in L.A. have collided, killing two people, injuring unknown others. It's believed the Metrolink commuter train was carrying up to 350 people. Once again, this is breaking news out of Los Angeles. Apparently, the trains collided at 4:32 Pacific time, and the train had left Union Station in downtown Los Angeles and was headed northwest to Moore Park in Ventura County. Again, they cannot confirm as of this time how many people are on the train, but in rush hours, there usually would be about 350 on board. And there was a collision in Los Angeles between a commuter rail train and freight train, and that is just coming into us here at FXBN. Rob, the question, it's another question about the eyewall replacement cycle, if you could go over that again.
Sure. Just to explain what an eyewall replacement cycle is.
I believe that's a question. I believe it's being asked whether or not what's being seen is an eyewall replacement cycle and what an eyewall replacement cycle is.
No. Well, what's really happening with Ike is that an eyewall never really formed with Ike, just because yesterday there were up to 3 areas of wind maximums, so Ike was never able to form one solid eyewall. Looking on radar, it looks like one is trying to develop, but really hasn't gotten there. Whether it's able to form a complete eyewall before landfall remains to be seen, but looking at radar imagery, it's just really on the northwest, west, and a little bit on the southwest side with the latest image. Now, an eyewall replacement cycle is basically when they usually occur with really intense hurricanes, more with Category 4 and Category 5s. Basically, an eyewall will form, as we all know, and the eye will start contracting, and as that eye contracts, the hurricane will strengthen. At a certain point, the eye will get so small, the eye wall basically will become unstable enough so that it'll just collapse on itself, and basically thermodynamics inside the hurricane will form a larger eyewall around the collapsing eyewall, and what will happen is you'll see a steady state or even a weakening trend in a hurricane as a new eyewall forms around the old eyewall, and then that cycle will happen again. When that new eyewall forms, it'll start contracting again. Hurricane will then strengthen back up until the eye gets so small, that whole process happens again. The eye wall becomes unstable and then collapses on itself, and then a new eye will form. That's basically a cycle that'll basically keep happening over and over again.
Rob, we have another question. Do you feel that this is the last of the storms, or are there more out in the tropics that are out there that aren't necessarily heard about right now because of the significant storm in the Gulf?
There's a couple of areas of interest out there. There's nothing that is going to develop anytime in the next few days, I don't think. One area is an area of disturbed weather. It's located about 200 miles northeast of the southeastern Bahamas, and it's part of the remnants of Tropical Storm Josephine. Developing at this point over the next few days, I don't think it'll happen. I think the outflow from Ike will basically shear it off enough so that it won't be able to develop. If you look on satellite pictures, you can almost see a northwest wind flow to the east of Florida. Hurricane Ike. And I think if this area of disturbed weather where it's tracking northwestward, it's going to be tracking right into that area of outflow from Ike and be sheared off. Not only that, there's a trough of low pressure that's going to be pushing east, and that's going to be linking up to the remnants of Ike. And I think that'll cause enough shear ahead of that trough to put a cap on any significant development of that area of disturbed weather. So at this point, I think the chances for that area northeast to the southeast Bahamas pretty low. Now there's another area that's being monitored, and that's located 1,400 miles east of the Leeward Islands. Again, upper level winds aren't very favorable, and any development is going to be very slow to occur. If anything is going to occur, I think it would wait until it's further west, maybe towards the middle of next week. We might want to watch near the Bahamas with this other area of disturbed weather, which is located east of the Leeward Islands by quite a ways, 1,400 miles. So it's going to take several days for it to make it across to the area of the Bahamas. And so I think in the next few days, probably right through the middle of next week at least, I think we're good on no development. So I might be able to get some sleep after probably pulling an all-nighter tonight and probably not sleeping until sometime tomorrow. And I might actually be able to get back onto a regular sleep schedule after everything's said and done, I hope.
You need to sleep every month?
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, Rob, there are 12 months in a year. You're alive, you know, say 80 years or something. I mean, I don't have a calculator for that. A lot of months.
Yeah, I'll sleep all I want when I'm dead, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You have all kinds. Rob, I've kept you over, and I don't want to continue to keep you. Is there anything that we haven't covered that you'd like to get out to the audience? I know a lot of it is essentially, evacuations are kind of, you know, become a moot point or quickly arriving at that.
Yeah, pretty much, and I think at this point it's pretty much just monitoring the news to see the latest what's happening from the Texas coast. For people that are down there, and if you're still in an evacuation area and you didn't evacuate, you may want to spend the night as high as you can go in your house and stay aware of what the surge is doing around you. And if it gets to the point have the necessary tools to be able to get out of your house in a hurry, and if necessary, through the roof. By that I mean an axe, a chainsaw, something that you can cut your way out of your house vertically onto your roof if the surge comes up around you. I pray for the people that didn't leave and chose to stay down on the coast, because it's going to be a very long night down there. And I don't know what else to say. It's a pretty dire situation when it comes in terms of the storm surge potential along the central and upper Texas coast right into southwest Louisiana.
When will that be next available update, either from yourself or from government or private agencies?
The next Hurricane Center advisory, they're issuing intermediate advisory every 2 hours. So where they just issued an advisory, the next one will be at 11 p.m. With that advisory will come all the new forecast track. As for my own discussion, I'm pretty much done with discussions for today. Pretty much everything that I wrote, my last discussion, it's pretty much all she wrote in terms of an overview of what Ike is going to do. I'm probably going to do another discussion at some point tomorrow, probably late morning, early afternoon, once Ike finally comes ashore and we get an idea of what the damages along the Texas coast is like. And that discussion will probably end up be focusing more on inland effects in terms of rainfall, wind potential, inland wind potential, and tornado threats throughout tomorrow into tomorrow night. But Hurricane Center issues their official forecasts 4 times a day, 5 a.m. Eastern, 4 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Central, 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 11 p.m. Eastern, and 10 p.m. Central. With the 11 p.m. advisory, I'll be updating the wind swath map that they that I put on the on the Crown Weather Service site. That is basically based off the Hurricane Center forecast. So that along with the Hurricane Center forecast, that's updated 3 to 4 times a day, the wind swath map that's seen on the Crown Weather Service's site. For that site, just go to the following website address, www.crownweather.com/ike.html.
Okay. Rob, we here at XXBN want to thank you so much. For listeners who may not be aware, Rob has spent a tremendous amount of time with us here on XXBN covering all of the storms from, I've forgotten all of them now.
I know.
Started with Edward. And here we are 6 weeks later. We want to express our sincere gratitude.
Hopefully you
get to have some sleep. Definitely stay on top of the storm. You can do that at Crown Weather Service's website, which is www.crownweather.com. Rob, one last question. A friend from Maine has bought me a bottle of soda called Moxie, and I'm supposed to ask you about it. I don't even really know how to describe the taste of it.
Moxie. Actually, I have never tried Moxie. Huh.
Does that mean anything to you? I'm not following. I think I'm the brunt of a joke, but I'm not sure what it is.
I think you are. I'm not sure I get it either, to be honest. I've never tried Moxie. That's,
I haven't seen it here ever. And
I think it's more. I think it's more of a Maine thing, if I remember right. But I've never tried Moxie.
The cashier asked me, to describe it. And I can't even, it doesn't taste like anything I've ever had before. I don't even know how to describe it, but I think I'm the brunt of a joke. And
I think you are. You might want to ask your friend to give it up and find out what the joke is. I'm curious myself.
Well, we'll have to bring that forward to another show. What is Mox? For Rob Lightbound from Ground Weather Services and producer Kim Kasarik in Vancouver, this is Jim Brenneman saying so long from Raleigh-Durham. This is XXBN, Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill, XXBNradio.com, Fargo. Brenneman Airplane is an exclusive production of XXBN. Rest in peace.
This is XXBN Raleigh-Durham. and you can add some food.